Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grilling mitt. That's where they're at. It's the Grilling Guys.
Welcome. You are listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend. Gosh, we're coming up on the end of February already. Where do the time go? But you know what? I'm doing a little ice fishing, hopefully out there. Be safe with that, but it should be tons of ice. We've been in our polar vortex. And by the way, back from the sunny vortex of Key West is Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Hey, thanks, Jop. It's good to be back. No, it's not. It really stinks. This is, I don't know, I guess the older you get, the less you really dig winter. After you go, and usually every winter we try and go somewhere warm for a while, like 10 days. It's typically the number. And when it's time to come home and you're looking at the weather at home, you just don't want to go back. You try and like, oh, can I call in sick?
Yeah, right. So, for the next month until it gets warm, right?
Yeah. So unfortunately, I'm not independently wealthy, and I can't just take a month or two off and do what I want.
Right.
So being in Florida, hanging out with, everybody there was older than me. That was the sunny side. We went to a country club with my brother. And it was Name That Tune.
Your older brother?
Yeah. And it was Name That Tune.
Oh.
And we were the only ones that got the Billy Idol song.
Oh, yeah. Generational thing.
Oh,
almost,
my gosh.
Right?
But really wonderful people. And it's fine. We got to see so many friends and relatives. We just kept running into people, and people would find out we were there, and they'd call. And it's like, okay, Maureen, we got to make another dodge. We're going to go to Fort Myers for breakfast.
Right. Yeah, but you know, that's the magic of social media, right? I mean, people live their life on social media to a certain degree, and then you make connections like that. That's probably more the positive side of it. I'm not the biggest fan of letting everybody know where I ate dinner or where I went shopping.
Yeah,
or
I love taking pictures of food.
Right.
I love putting food up like you do.
Right.
You know?
Yep.
And so we were down in Key West for a couple nights, stayed at a really cool Cuban place. And we didn't pay.
So were you south of Key West or were you in Key West?
Yeah, you can hardly tell. But it was ridiculously expensive. And I can't take a vacation now the rest of the year.
Right, yeah.
But so we're watching this really awesome band. It was four brothers. And my wife loves live music anyway. So she's the queen of getting a table.
Right.
So she got us a table right by the stage. And I filmed them a little bit. Just do a live feed. Just I don't know if it was on the Grilling Guys page or what, but my aunt sent me a message and she said Carol is in that same place. My cousin.
Oh,
so we're looking for her. Next thing you know, we're linking up with a bunch of cousins that were down there. I had no idea of. So there is that cool thing about it. I had some great food down there. I wanted to talk about one thing that I've always wanted to try. That I've had close to in Hawaii, we used to make something called lomi lomi salmon. And tuna tartare is kind of like that. You've probably had steak tartare because you grew up kind of a blue blood. So I'm sure
just red meat.
I'm sure that was served by the butler every week at your house.
Yeah, in Shartaki, come on. That's where all us butlers live.
So I put a lot of these pictures on our page, but this tuna tartare was really awesome. It was a gorgeous salad, and then they put a bunch of slices of avocado down, and then they laid the tuna tartare on top of it, which is basically, from my memory, which was somewhat fogged, it was like little cubes of raw tuna marinated in like a soy and some sesame seed and who knows what.
Was there an acid in there maybe to kind of?
Well, I think the soy kind of does that, but you can eat tuna raw anyway, so you know, you're not really trying to cure it a whole lot, but there was salt in the soy. Anyway, this beautiful concoction was set on top of avocado set on top of lettuce, and when they brought it poolside,
oh yeah,
I was just
well,
like
that might have made it taste better, even
oh,
if
yes,
it didn't,
it did.
Right?
It did. I need another rum runner, please.
Right, yeah. a rum swimmer.
No idea what it tasted like. I had mahi mahi, that was great, but this is the one that inspired one of the recipes we're going to do at one of the places, a place in Key Largo that is very famous, and I'm not going to be able to think of the name of it right now, but I ordered lobster mac.
Sure.
And the presentation they had on this was just absolutely beautiful, and it was some gorgeous mac and cheese with this wonderful mound of lobster on top and kind of a white cheese sauce maybe or some kind of a white gravy.
Right.
So I'm sure it was cheese. And, oh, my gosh, that was absolutely fantastic. So I started looking at our website, and I noticed that we did lobster mac and bacon a few years back. So I want to talk about that later. One of the highlights of the trip, talk about running into friends, the whole week leading up to going down there, Dave Duzma, one of our favorite fans,
helped us
and
a
listener,
lot with the
yes.
GI barbecue. You
and,
bet.
And
Deuce,
Dave and
thank you.
Dave and Betts were going to be in Marathon, and they were. So we went and saw them one day in Marathon and sat on their deck and enjoyed some nice cold beers.
I think I saw a picture of that.
Looking out at the water, and another guy from Muskegon who owns Great Lake Fords, Mark and his wife. And had a wonderful day with them. So it's just kind of cool. I think that's what retirement's going to be like. We won't have a home in Florida.
Yeah.
We're just going to bum around from friend to friend who lives there.
You'll have friends with homes
that's
in Florida,
right.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. Make sure you're nice to those people over the next few years.
No
right?
kidding.
Yeah. And bring wine when you show up, and then everything just seems to be a little bit easier.
It doesn't hurt.
But. You know, we're gonna talk a little bit about comfort food throughout the show, and that takes a lot of forms with a lot of different people.
Right.
Right. Mine is thick and creamy and savory. All those things are where I really go with.
Sounds
comfort
like a stout.
Food. Right. Yeah. Well, there you are. I had a vanilla Java porter last night.
Oh.
And you know, a little thick. And it served it a little bit warmer, and man, that was just really good.
Uh-huh.
It's not one you're going to sit down and do a session of with four or five,
right?
But I had
a lot
know,
of calories,
right? Yeah, I had a 16-ounce pint of it.
Nice,
and it was Rochester Mills.
Okay,
is what it was, and it was just really good. And I just drank it by itself, and you know, sipped it. It's not a you're not going to hit one of those when you're thirsty, but that made me think of comfort drinks. Is
right.
those thick. Malty well, with a foamy head that's kind of creamy and,
yeah.
you know, and we're
you're
gonna
making
about,
me thirsty.
Yeah, we're going to talk about foods that are doing that. But
well, you know, I ran into something in Florida, too.
Uh-oh.
And it's this. And it's the greatest value in beer in America.
And it's America's oldest brewery.
It is.
Established in 1829.
It's a Yingling. And
right.
It's a black and tan. And,
which is porter and premium
bring
beer.
A couple of them back.
Right.
So,
all
cheers.
Right.
Thanks for thanks for letting me leave and
well,
covering the shop.
Yeah, we got her all done. And just a second while I take a pull off this.
Oh, boy, is that a dandy. If you've never had a black and tan, that's the first one you should ever have.
Right. Wow, that is
because
nice.
They bottle it that way.
Right.
And it's $20 a case, baby.
What?
Yeah.
That's an 80-cent beer? Come
well,
on, man.
We drank a lot of Yingling down there.
Right.
And it's $20 a case.
Wow. That's a value. That's a huge value. You can't get it in Michigan. I don't know why. There must be too much craft beer here. That
they can't,
they don't
no,
let
them they can't make it fast enough.
Right. Yeah.
They take a state on once in a while.
Right. But anyway, so we're going to cover a little bit of comfort food for the rest of the show. There, I see pasties and stew and some mac and cheese a bunch of different ways. Even I'm going to cover something in a skillet, believe it or not. Not a Dutch oven, but I'm getting there. It's cast iron skillet. So you're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Working on the night shift, baby. Dying for your touch like crazy.
Hey guys, Schmoes now has two locations, 2600 Patterson here in Grand Rapids and 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey now. So when you're up north, you can grab some schmoes as well. Remember, you can get all your favorites: Bone Crusher, Hop Knocker, Treasure Chest, Amber Tees, Michigan Hands Pale Ale, and India Pale Ale, or one of our great root beers. Once again, that's Grand Rapids and Petoskey. Engineering better Michigan beer.
Hi, it's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, and our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to Old World Olive Press.
This is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's Garrett'sAppliances.com, Garrett'sAppliances.com.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
Talking comfort food, that's some comfortable music.
So. Brian's going to put us to sleep.
Right. Thanks, Brian. I could use a nap.
It's too early for that. Before we get going on pasties, I just thought of something that is, I think, hysterical. And you know my wife very well. And when it comes to a vacation, there's no vacation she can't take, right? So we've got our airline tickets. We did this last minute. I mean, we were going to drive to Knoxville for the weekend, and it turned into a full-blown, full-budget Keys vacation.
Yeah.
And so we've got our tickets and all this, and, you know, when you're getting ready for vacation, you kind of get jacked up anyway.
Well, sure you do. Yeah.
You're on jungle juice, right? So, well, that's when that ice storm hit. I mean, it was like Armageddon around here. It was really
Power's
incredible.
Out, trees are down, yeah, all that stuff.
Incredible. Yeah. So my driveway is very long. And
through the woods.
Yep. It's like 900 foot, and the power lines were down in our driveway. The utility poles were snapped off. Trees were snapped off. I've got big trees. These things are – it's like I don't know how they ever cleaned it up, because I grabbed my bride and my suitcase, which is on wheels. We took one suitcase because we flew Allegiant, and they pimp you on the bags. So it's like, okay, let's fit it all into one.
Cheap ticket. Ooh, not so much
anymore.
Yeah.
$50. So we just, you know, we were just bringing trunks and T-shirts anyway. So we trekked through the woods to the neighbors where we had to stow a vehicle because we couldn't get back home that day.
Really?
So we went through the woods with our suitcase in the snow. Maureen took some pictures of me doing it. She apparently thought it was really funny as I'm struggling. And I wasn't wearing flip-flops. I did have some boots on.
Right.
Yeah. But that was crazy.
Right. Yep. And
it
you
was
left
scary
it. And there were people that in our area that were out 5-6 days. And I don't know if they lost everything in their freezers and all that other stuff, but it was cold out, so you probably could put it outside and preserve it all.
Yeah,
but
it wasn't a heat wave.
Yeah, it wasn't a heat wave. But anyway, yeah, it was a mess. And you know what? It's always amazing to me that people come from all the other states to come up here and help us do this stuff when we have one of these every, 2-4 years, we have one of these bad ice storms like that.
Right.
And all of a sudden, you got guys coming from everywhere. And it's like they're like first responders for electricity.
Right, and our people go to the Carolinas a bunch when they get the hurricanes, so it's nice that they help each other out.
Yeah, it is.
So I get a phone call while we're gone. Dad, there's water spraying out everywhere in the basement. Your office is soaking wet.
Oh.
Ooh. So he said, I shut the water off to the house. And we were still without power.
So it got a little cold.
Oh, no,
place.
The power had gone back on by then. 5 days, no power. So we get our power back on, a water line breaks.
Right.
And it was the little rubber hose to the humidifier. It just got a crack in it. It was weird. I've never seen a PEX tubing do this. But it was just spraying a nice amount of water, not, you know, enough to drown you. But it had been going on for the whole day while he was at work. And, yeah. Wow. So I have... I'm getting a text right now from the water Chad Sutorp at this water reclamation place. They're going there now because he wet backed it up and everything, but the damage is bad.
Sure.
So, yeah.
That sucks.
That's what we're doing.
Well, that'll make you want to put ketchup on your pasty, right?
Well, I was thinking of being conciliatory and talking about gravy.
Well, it's up to you, man. That's how you like your pasty. So what is a pasty? Because I'm sure a lot of people know, but there might be some that don't.
Yeah, and this isn't grill food. This is in the oven. And I don't think you want to put it in your smoker either, just because it's kind of the holy grail of Uper food. and if you can't make a pie crust, it's okay to get the Pillsbury.
Pre-made ones?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're awesome.
Right.
They're kind of pricey. They're $1 a piece probably.
Yep.
But, I mean, when you consider the fillings in a pasty aren't that pricey. So what is a pasty? It looks like a burrito.
You know what I think it is? It's the stromboli of pot pies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? When you get a pizza, you fold it together and seal the edges. They call it a stromboli. You got a pot pie, you fold it together and seal the edges. You got a pasty.
Yes,
kind of.
Right. So picture your mom making a pie, and she's got the big round crust out. And if you drew a line down the center of it, top to bottom, and you put a mixture on the left, and you folded the right side over to it, and then you curled up that edge around the other side and baked it. And my mom always took her knife and put slats in the top just like a pie.
Right.
And you bake it like for about a little over an hour at 350. And it's
– could have a variety of stuff in it too, right?
It can. Yep, it can. And I'm a purist, as you know. So my family's from the west end of the UP, and they have a certain way they make them. Now, when you get over to the East End, they have their way.
Right.
And we all think we're right all the time. Just like pizzas,
So let's compare and contrast East to West.
Okay, so the way my mother and my family made them was, and my grandma's, was cubed potatoes, ground venison or ground beef or a mixture, and chopped up rutabaga, and onion, and then salt and pepper.
Right.
And then you make that mixture, you put your load on it, you pull the thing
over.
And you know the cool thing, reading the history of it, people say they're finished. They're not finished.
They're just beginning.
They come from England. They come from Cornwall, England. And that's where all the miners from the UP came from, because when they found the copper and the ore up there, they needed some miners, and all they had was a bunch of Swedes and Finns, and all they did was cut trees down.
Right.
And made log houses. So they brought in all these Cornishmen, and that's where the pasties came over. So that big crust that comes around to the side, the cool history I read on this was they made them like that, and they made that big crust on the side kind of big because these guys would slide them in their coveralls when they go down in the mine to keep it warm, because apparently it's quite cold in a mine.
Right, yeah. 55 degrees once you get so far down, right?
And you're pitch black if you're mining coal or anything. You're filthy, and your hands are filthy. And they didn't have rubber gloves back then or safety helmets or any of that
stuff. Or a face mask even.
Right.
Yeah.
So when it came time to eat, they could slide that out of – they probably had it in a newspaper or something like that – slide it out of their coveralls, and they'd grab that crust with their dirty hand, and they'd eat the whole thing. And then they would chuck the crust – and feed the rats that were down there.
Oh.
They liked having the rats in the mine because when the rats were scurrying, they knew it was time to get out, and they couldn't afford parakeets.
Right, yeah, for the air?
Right.
Is that what you're after? Yeah, right.
So they fed those crusts to the rats.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Fascinating.
It is.
It's funny what you can learn if you read.
Right.
I'm just amazed at reading.
Yeah. That whole internet thing's pretty crazy, man. But the East End, then.
Okay. They don't do rutabaga, they do carrots.
Okay.
And that is Bravo Sierra.
So, again,
you want to tick me off, put carrots in.
Right. I've had chicken in them, and I've had ground beef
in
them.
Well, you know, yeah, now they're getting crazy. You can do anything. And I think that's cool.
Right. Yep.
And even gravy.
And we got a friend. If you're in mid-Michigan, we got a friend over in a little burg called Saranac that he's got a pasty shop over there. Tony Baumgartner is his name, and Vicky's Pasty Shop, and he's been affiliated with the show for many, many years.
His logo's still on our website.
Right, but Vicky's makes these things. If you don't want to make them, you can go over there. Saranac's only 3 blocks. You can't miss him.
Okay, and here's why I love theirs. Theirs are very much like the West End,
right?
Except he grew up in Iron Mountain, and they actually mix a little ground pork in with their beef because they have an Italian influence there.
There you go.
It's all ethnic.
It doesn't matter, does it? Coming up next, maybe some Southern Mac and everything's better with bacon. Stick with us, we'll be back.
Some folks ask me why I still pick this guitar. See, living that life on the road won't get you very far.
Hi, this is Sal Cipriano, CEO of Better Made Snack Foods. Ever wonder why our Better Made potato chips taste so good? They're made with homegrown potatoes from West Michigan farms. So when you're driving to the beach, a festival, or a ballpark, and you pass by those farms, think of Better Made potato chips. Better yet, stop by your favorite grocer or convenience store and pick up a bag for the trip. For nearly 90 years, Better Made Snack Foods are Better Made.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? I mean the kind that makes you remember walks with your grandfather. Come on over to Schmoe's Brewing Company in Grand Rapids or Petoskey, and we have some handcrafted root beer, probably the best in the state of Michigan. That's 2600 Patterson in Grand Rapids or 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey. You know you're dying for a good root beer float.
If your window sticks, slips, squeak, or leak, then it's time to replace them with Anderson Windows from Standale Lumber's Home Center in Standale. Standard and custom sizes along with low-E glass, low-maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interior can turn simple window replacement into serious home improvement. You'll feel increased security, your home will be much quieter and more comfortable, but the increased curb appeal will make you proud of your home and its new facelift from your Anderson Windows and Standale Lumber's Home Center. 4100 Lake Michigan Drive, Standale, or find us on the web at standalelumber.com.
Have you missed episodes of The Grillin' Guys? Go to thegrillinguys.com and you can play episodes clear back to 2010. Subscribe to the podcast and you'll never miss another one again. That's thegrillinguys.com.
With The Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see The Grillin' Guy rigged, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to The Grillin' Guys show.
Welcome back. You are listening to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. If you're just tuning in, Barbecue Bob is back from his almost Cuban sabbatical was down in Key West and visited a bunch of friends. And yep, I'm talking about it because I'm jealous. But I'm glad to be back, Barbecue Bob. I know you're not, but I'm glad you're here because it fits back in this old comfortable chair, and we're having at it. But
well, thanks.
We're talking about comfy food, right?
Well, thanks for damning me to Michigan.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you brought yourself back. I'm just glad you're here, right?
Oh, you want to commiserate? You're probably glad that I brought you a Yingling.
Well, there's that too. Absolutely, absolutely.
There's more at the house,
right? Well, oh, now I got to come over.
Yeah,
you only brought one.
I know better.
No, you brought two, right? Because you have one and I have one, right?
So, I guess more than dishing out recipes on Southern Mac,
right?
You know it when you find a mac and cheese that you like,
right?
And I'd have to say, all in all, a lot more places and a lot more cooks and chefs are getting a lot better at making mac and cheese,
right?
Because there used to be a lot of really bad stuff out there.
Yeah, pretty plain Jane. The ones I like the best have a combination of cheeses in them. And I've really gravitated in my little side catering business that I do. You know, you got one, I got one, where you just you find something you like. Mm-hmm. I've got a white cheddar mac recipe.
Really?
That people are really just.
How do you do it?
Well, it's, you know, if I told you, I'd have to kill you.
That's all
right. But no, but it there's butter in it, mm-hmm. and there's sour all
cream?
White cheddar.
Sour cream?
Yep. Yep, there's
sometimes
a little sour cream
good.
In there. Then that, because what that does is it thins it out. It makes it from gooey to smooth.
Right.
Right? And then I think.
Because the cheddar can give you trouble.
Yeah.
You know, it gets to be kind of like tar.
Right. And then it gives off oil, too. There's,
oh, yeah.
there's oil in the cheddar. So you got to be careful to drain that off a little bit. So then the secret there is make the noodles and the cheese sauce separate and then combine them and put it in the smoker. And let it smoke, right? And so once you get a cheese sauce that you like, and there's some, I put a little garlic in it, and, you know, of course, salt and peppers and everything. But once you get a cheese sauce that you like, that becomes the foundation for anything else you want to mess with. You mm-hmm. want to throw some peas in it. You want to throw in
tuna.
Some bacon, some tuna.
Yeah.
Anything that you like just to amp it up a little bit. You know, I serve it as a side dish with my barbecues. Right. So I usually just kind of leave it a little bit alone. Once in a while, though, I'll take a bag of those Better Made barbecue potato chips that we have, and I'll crush those all up. And once I get it all mixed together, that becomes a barbecue potato chip crust.
That's your topping.
That's a topping, right? But it just gives it a little color.
Oh, it's beautiful.
It gives it a little barbecue
yeah.
flair.
That way you don't need to sprinkle paprika on it.
Right. And it's crunchy. When it's done, but you never mix it in. It's a topping.
Right.
Right? And but you put it in there and, you know
what else those toppings do?
What's that?
You were talking about the oil. I would call it grease.
Right, right.
From the cheese,
right.
Whatever it is. The panko or chips or whatever you're putting on top do a nice job at absorbing that oil that mm-hmm. wants to float up. And so it makes the presentation a little better. You still get to keep that oil for the fat and flavor.
Right, and it crisps
it
those chips
it
a little bit when the oil hits them.
And the panko damn. Chip. The
right,
panko
same thing, yeah.
Crumbs.
Anything that soaks up that oil out of the cheese makes it a little crispy on top.
So here's where I'm going. The thing that turns me off about a lot of people's mac and cheese is they don't have their timing down.
Mm-hmm.
And they think you need to cook the noodles thoroughly.
Right.
And I'm here to tell you, if you do that, you better just throw it in the broiler for a couple minutes.
Right.
Because those things are done. You want them al dente.
That's right.
And so.
Which is translates for a Chautauquan about two-thirds cooked.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you want to pull those things at a time when they're not really done and have your sauce be nice and runny if you're going to bake it a little bit. Then
right.
they'll finish off in there. And, again, I'm going to probably go with a high temperature for like 10 minutes just so I can brown the top.
Right. And I've done it on the smoker,
though, too. You don't want to leave it in for a half hour.
I've done it on the smoker at a lower temp for a little bit longer just because the smoker's hot. I'm waiting for pork butts to get done or whatever.
And if you're at 250 and it's smoky, you want some smoke on it anyway.
Right. Yep.
And if you have the crumbly top on it, that tends to smoke up a little bit.
Suck up some of that smoke. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good look and a good flavor.
So the
right?
key is to determine in advance if you're going to cook it a long time. And if you are, don't cook your noodles much and make your sauce runny.
Right.
If you're just going to flash it in the broiler, get those babies just about ready, and your cheese sauce doesn't need to be nearly as lucid.
Right. But either way, you know, it's one of those dishes that – you can mess it up in consistency, and you can mess it up in flavor. Flavor is easier to fix than the consistency. So get a flavor that you like. Like I said, I prefer a white cheddar mix. It's predominantly white cheddar. I might put a little jalapeno cheese in there to give it a little bit of bite.
Or but just dice up some jalapeno.
Right, yeah. Either way, because it is a really open palate.
So when I make mac and Southern mac in particular.
So what makes it Southern?
Which I call it.
Yeah.
Right? Cayenne and mustard.
Okay.
So I don't really know. That's my guess. So.
But your mac, you're sticking with it.
I like to use Velveeta.
Ugh.
Yeah. See, the beautiful thing.
Not my fave, babe.
Beautiful thing about Velveeta, and Velveeta makes a sharp cheddar Velveeta. And the beautiful thing about that American cheese is it melts down and gets creamy. It doesn't get stringy. You don't have the problem of...
It's because it ain't real cheese.
Well, it's early cheese is all it is. It's just not processed as long. It's not aged the same way.
Well, all I know is it's never refrigerated on the shelf. And to me, that says something about it not being a dairy product.
Well, tuna fish isn't either.
Well, that's canned, though. And Velveeta's in a foil wrapper.
It's the same thing.
It's a brick of...
It's cryovac'd. It's just aged milk. They pour in a bag and zip it shut.
Yeah, exactly. To me, that doesn't make a cheese, dude. I'm sorry.
If you look at the contents, it's pretty solid stuff. It's not like full of crap.
Yeah, right, and it's in the aisle right next to the drywall.
Okay.
I'm not buying that, dude.
I love Velveeta in my Southern Mac, and I use a ton of it.
I grew up on it. I will tell you
that.
How
do you make your queso? Do you make queso?
I don't make queso.
Okay. If you've ever made queso, you're using Velveeta.
Yes, I agree. You would.
You have to.
Right, right.
So the nice thing about mac and cheese is, I mean, the best stuff I've ever made always has a majority of Velveeta in it.
Remember that?
I buy the cheddar Velveeta.
Remember a couple of years ago, two or three, we were in that chili cook-off over in Ada, and that guy made Velveeta chili.
Was that sick or what?
Dude. His table fell, right? The legs collapsed under one end of his table.
He got lucky.
Yeah. This thing fell down and it tipped over and it started to ooze. It was so just Velveeta-y. It started to ooze out of the pan. He quick picked it up and it sucked back into the pan. And I'm like, that ain't right. First of all, it wasn't chili.
Oh,
but
I thought
second
it went
all
over the floor.
It was, some of it did. Yeah. But when he pulled it, some of it sucked back off the floor into his pan because yeah, it was that Velveeta-y.
That wasn't chili.
Yeah, right. It was a bowl of Velveeta.
It's like queso with meat.
Yeah, it was a bowl of Velveeta is what it was. But yeah, anyway,
so,
his chili, he can have.
So you make your favorite mac and cheese, and you can add lobster and bacon, and you can mix it right in, and you're going to cook the lobster. Or you can just do Southern mac and just use panko crumbs on the top. But having that lobster in Key West or Key Largo, the lobster mac there, I mean, having it on top on a beautiful display like that was everything, man. It was beautiful.
Yeah, Bob, you've seen poutine, right?
The, yep.
With the on your French fries and the gravy,
Vladimir.
Do some mac and cheese on some crispy fries one time, dude. It is absolute positive hangover food. I'm just telling you, big old lump of mac and cheese on some fries.
Oh, so it must go with a Bloody Mary.
Yeah, it goes with a lot of things, I'm just telling you. Coming up next, can you really do stew on the grill? Bob's going to tell you how.
Straight ahead, never turn around. Don't back up, don't back down. A full throttle, wide open. You get tired and you don't show it. Dig a little deeper when you think you can't dig no more. That's the only way.
Howdy, it's Barbecue Bob from the Grilling Guys. We're working hard on Operation GI Barbecue, which is an effort to send a plane load of barbecue to our troops. Right now, go to GIBBQ.com, look at the Sapphire Ceramic Grill on auction. You can bid on this $2,000 ceramic grill package at RepoCast.com. That's SAFFIRE at RepoCast. So remember our troops at GIBBQ.com.
Have you ever wanted a great craft beer, but alcohol just isn't in the program that day? Well, the beer engineers at Schmoe's Brewing Company have engineered a beer just for you. A pale ale with less than 0.5% of alcohol. Ask for Schmoe's 120, where you dine or drink. It's the non-alcoholic answer with a craft beer taste. Schmoe's Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Beer City, USA.
Wouldn't it be sweet if life just came with an assist when you needed it? At State Farm, we live for a great assist, and that's why State Farm agent Sterling Massey is proud to be a part of the NBA, the National Bureau of Assists. Whether you're driving the lane or defending the house, when it comes to assisting you with your insurance and financial needs, Sterling and his staff make it look as easy as a behind-the-back dime dropper. Call Sterling Massey at 616-532-6071.
is Barbecue Bob, and I want to tell you about the biggest beer store in West Michigan. Siciliano's Market at 2840 Lake Michigan Drive has the most craft beers I've ever seen in one location. Siciliano's is a family business that works hard to bring you the best beers in the world to the West Michigan market. Visit Siciliano's and check out the huge selection of home brewing supplies as well. That's Siciliano's Market at SicilianoMKT.com.
February. Dang, this is the last show in February because we only got 28 days in this dog. Yeah, so we'll be in March next time we talk to you.
And it's not even a leap year, so right. We'll only get 28 days.
28 of them, is that it? Yeah. Speaking of that first weekend in March, I'm going to be with Chaz, and we're going to be out on a lake here in the greater Grand Rapids area called Reed's Lake, and we're going to bring 50 Boy Scouts ice fishing.
Oh.
And I'm the hot dog man.
So they might be Girl Scouts instead of Boy Scouts now because they have to let girls in.
Well, they're
because it's the Boy Scouts.
Right.
Now that's so smart.
Right. But anyway, so I'll be doing some dogs on the ice. Looking forward to that in that first weekend in March. But anyway, right now we're still talking about comfort food. And can you really do stew on the grill?
Yeah. Yeah, especially if you have a Cajun grill. And you're going to be able to get those in Michigan because they're opening up distribution up here. And that's our friends down at the Percy Guidry Company. T. Gidd,
mm-hmm.
He's one of our board of directors. Yeah. The Cajun Grill has all sorts of new products rolling out. But basically, it's a grill. It's a charcoal grill. On one side, the grate comes up, and it holds a pot holder. You can put a wok or a Dutch oven in it.
It's kind of a metal ring that you can set a pot
in. It's a metal plate, yeah, with a big hole in the middle. And it's you don't even have to have that. If your grill is tall enough, or if you have adjustable racks, you can put your pot of stew in there and shut the lid and let that savory flavor absorb into it, like we do with our chili for the cook-off.
Right.
Was a secret. Now it's not.
Right. But, we put a lot of smoke on that, and believe it or not, a liquid will catch a lot of smoke.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't bounce off the surface. It absorbs in.
So, like for stew, I like to use chuck roast.
Me too.
So, I don't buy stew meat. That's crazy because you don't know what it is. It's a mystery meat. It's kangaroo or something, which is actually good. But to take a chuck roast and take a chuck roast, or a chuck roast, sear it on your grill, and then smoke it for a couple hours. And then take it off, cool it, bust it up. In the meantime, you get your gravy and your chopped up potatoes, carrots, whatever you like putting into it. You got to have the Holy Trinity.
Sweet onion.
Onion, celery, and carrots.
Right.
And then some potatoes and whatever spices you like. And, you know, if you need a broth, just a big jug of beef broth is good to use.
Because mm-hmm.
you're going to be on the grill. You're not going to have any good drippings out of a pan, right?
Right.
To make a roux. So smoke that chuck roast a couple hours, grill it, and then smoke it, or however you want to do it, and take that and chop it up, trim as much fat off it as you can, throw it in that pot, and then throw it on the grill for an hour and a half, and let, you know, keep adding a little bit of smoke
back,
to it.
Drink a couple beers.
Yeah, keep adding a little bit of smoke to it.
Right.
And I'll tell you what, that's how we do it at deer camp. Actually, I make it in advance at deer camp, and I put it on a tripod over the fire.
Hanging there, yeah.
It just hangs there.
Yep.
You get a little ash in it. I'm not going to lie.
Right.
But it picks,
fiber, man.
It picks up
fiber.
That smoke.
Right.
I used to make it at deer camp, but we have such a dinky little trailer. The kitchen was pathetic. So
right. You got to do something
and
outside.
It's so cold by the time we're up there that I don't really care to do an outdoor kitchen when my hands are frozen.
Right. You know, this time of year, I really enjoy my cast iron skillet.
Yeah.
You know, I know you're a Dutch oven guy. The second
same
time
thing.
I said it.
Same thing.
But it's the same thing without a lid.
Yep.
Right? And
well, you actually have one now, don't you?
I have a Dutch oven or a skillet.
Both.
Yes. Yes, I do. I purport not to use the Dutch oven in public conversation with you.
Oh.
But once in a while, I do use it.
Yeah, yes. I didn't patent it.
Right. But anyway, the skillet is a wonderful tool because it heats up evenly across the skillet. If your burner's in the center, the outside is equally as hot as that center because the heat dissipates.
What size skillet? What's your go-to skillet?
I got a 10-inch just because it's Michelle and I.
Yeah.
Right? But you bought me, I think, an 18.
I thought so.
Yeah, and it's heavy, yeah. Right? And it's a double burner deal, right? If I use it, it doesn't have to be. But my point is when I'm just making meal for the two of us, I did one this week that was really good, and I started out with some raw kielbasa.
Oh.
Okay, and Sobey was in last week, if you tuned into the show.
Oh, Tim, so you Sobey got free meat.
I didn't get free meat.
Away.
I went over there and got it after I talked to him. But anyway, you get that kielbasa, and I put it in that pan and cut it up in probably like 8-inch chunks, right, to cook it because
okay.
I like
so
it
you
in
got
the casing
stuff in the
still.
Casing, yeah.
Right, I like it in the casing still. Roll it a few times and get it browned on the outside, and then I took it out and cut it, okay, into little medallions about, oh, maybe a half inch thick and, you know, just rounds, right? Put them back in there and then start putting the rest of the ingredients in, and I made it with a rice, and so I put the water and the rice in, let that get cooking, and then start adding in.
Oh,
the
knowing
red peppers.
You probably put kale in there.
No, kale is not my friend. But I did put some broccoli in, some red peppers, a little bit of onion. And by the time that cooked up, the oil from the sausage, or the kielbasa rather, was absorbed in, so it was a great flavor. A little bit of chicken broth to make sure that the rice had enough moisture.
Right.
But easy, one right. dish. And I did it on the—
So if you're doing rice, then you must have covered it.
Yeah, yep, exactly. And I just—
Because you have to cover it.
Right, yeah, to get the rice to cook down, yep.
So— If you're doing that and you're adding broccoli and vegetables, do you let your rice get halfway cooked before you add your vegetables?
Absolutely. You're spot on because your vegetables will be broken down.
They'll be mush.
Yeah, on that time. Yeah. But anyway, it's just red bell pepper and broccoli, a real pretty dish, right, with the white and red green and the sausage in there. And it's just
sounds good.
Really tasty.
Red green. Yeah.
Right. I knew that guy.
That's good stuff. You see, you duct tape the lid on.
Right, yeah.
I don't know how much time we got here, Mr. Producer, but I think there's 3 or 4 minutes.
Right. So you want to come up with another recipe, right? Is that where we're at, or at least another?
I'm thinking it's time for some man law.
Now you're a man! A man, man, man! Now you're a man! A man, man, man! A man, man, man! You are now a man! You're a man! Now you're a man!
Law was inspired by my recent trip down south, and it's because I never realized how many Air Force bases were in Florida.
Yeah.
There was military, Air Force and Navy everywhere. And so I saw a lot of troops and had some nice conversations with GIs and vets. But I saw this one, and it kind of, I don't know, just hit home. No man shall wear a beret unless it's for his military service.
Sure, exactly. At least not in...
That's a conversation that's going around right now. They're not getting enough troops in the military, so they're thinking about, you know, trying to reactivate the draft because they just can't get the quality people. There's so many jobs available now in the market that, you know, people are upgrading jobs, and the military job just doesn't look as attractive anymore. I would tell you that the draft would be the greatest thing we could do. That way everybody would be urged to give themselves a little bit to the country.
Provide a little service to the country?
Yeah.
Yeah, old guys
It'll
like change. You and me are out, but,
It'll change.
You know, it's interesting that it's not a wartime. I mean, we have conflicts everywhere, but
it's always wartime.
Yeah, and so it would be maybe a good time for something like that. You know, you don't want to let your meatloaf. If you're doing that, it's hard work, and I want to talk a little bit about meatloaf here on the grill.
I don't even know what you're talking
right.
about.
You can do a meatloaf on the grill.
Uh-huh.
And the thing is, with a meatloaf in the oven, you put it in a pan, and generally a lot of the grease renders off,
right.
and it stays in the pan.
Right.
When you do this on the grill, I put it on a flat pan with a little edge so that the grease doesn't hit my fire.
Oh.
Right, because you will get flare-ups as ground meat renders. It always has some fat in it. Usually, yeah. I mean, and
so you're creating a grease bomb. Then is what you're doing.
Well, I'm trying to.
You're getting all that beef fat right next to a flame.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And that's why I put it in a little flat, like cake pan something, right?
That's cool.
To hold that up. But the smoky flavor.
If you do catch on fire, don't throw water on it.
Right, yeah. Great tip from the grilling guy right there. But
so when I do those, I put them, I've told you before, though, on a pizza stone. And what that does, it allows the grease to run off a little at a time, and it does tend to flare up a little bit, but it's on the edge of that pizza stone. It doesn't get anywhere near your meat.
Right.
So that's another way to do it.
Right.
If
it's still going to render,
room,
and you're still going to have
it'll
juice.
Render.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. I don't know.
I love meatloaf.
You know what? I do too, and that's a comfort food. That's what I was just thinking is like, man, just a big
dude. You know what I did right before we left on vacation? I made some meatballs.
Ooh.
I found some Bob Evans breakfast sausage thawed out in the fridge because we buy a lot of stuff and freeze it. And I grabbed one of my pound and a half packs of ground beef, and I just made up a bunch of meatballs.
Combined the two, yeah.
That's comfort food, man.
Right.
I could like plop those in my mouth all day long.
Right. Coming up next, we're going to stuff your belly with a little stuffed pork chop. Stick with us. We'll
got the blue sky breeze and it don't seem fair. Only worry in the world is the tide gonna reach my chair. Sunrise, there's a fire in the sky. Never been so happy, never felt so high. And I think I might have found me my own kind of paradise. We live it, we love it. Alan Bob Sports. Sportsman serving sportsmen. It's more than a sport, it's a way of life. Your satisfaction's been our aim. Since 59, been at the top of our game. We stand behind our name. We live it, we love it. Alan Bob Sports. Sportsman serving sportsmen.
The Grillin' Guys are happy to introduce Fen Valley Vineyards. Fen Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fen Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard or in Saugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to FenValley.com.
Welcome back. This is Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're going to bring this train to the station today. Barbecue Bob, glad you're back from Florida. We've been talking a little bit about comfort food. You had some comfortable time down there. And while we were on the break, we were talking a little bit about stuffed pork chops.
Right.
Another comfort food.
Right.
Right? I think it's that whole savory stuffing inside of a great piece of pork. But I was commenting that I struggle with overcooking the meat before I feel like the stuffing's hot.
As a point of curiosity, did you grow up with stuffed pork chops?
Not so much.
I don't think I did either.
No.
Now, my wife probably didn't either, but she loved them somewhere. She used to work at a beef house.
Right.
And I think she had them at Bill Knapp's or something.
Right, yeah.
And so she's always made them throughout our entire marriage of 30-some years.
Mm-hmm.
And it was never a thing for our house. I mean, it just, I don't know. I think it was too much work.
All I remember about pork was my mom cooked it to death because she was afraid of the trichinosis. Right?
Oh, yeah.
And it's like that stuff's history now.
Oh, yeah.
Like polio and that are gone.
You could sole your shoe with it.
Right, yeah. And that was just it. That's why I didn't ever like them growing up. It was like, well, if one was left over, we could go out this time of year and play hockey with it. I mean, it was that overcooked to death.
Right.
And, bless my mom.
That's how they
but,
did that back in World War II and everything.
And so anyway, but now you take a thick-cut pork chop, like, or you can buy them stuff from the butcher, however you feel like doing it. But I always feel like when I got that little thin piece of pork on the top and the bottom, that it's overcooked before I get the stuffing on the inside
hot. Let me solve that problem for you. First of all, you don't have to make a stuffed pork chop.
Right.
You can take a nice pork chop and you can put your stuffing on top and throw it in the smoker and do it just that way. I'm going to tell you it's going to look better, it's going to taste the same, and your meat will come out however you want
it. So it probably tastes better then because my meat is, I feel it's overcooked.
You're killing it
every
trying
time
to get your stuffing to cook.
Right.
You're doing it this way, your stuffing on top dries up a bit too, so it's not all mushy.
Right, get a little crunch on it.
You do.
Hmm. That sounds good. Well, there you are. There's my tip of the day from the grilling guy.
And you can do it. Right? You can do it directly on your grill. And to do that, you would brown one side, flip it over, and put your stuffing on the raw side that's up. Turn your grill all the way down, shut the lid, and leave it on there about 20 minutes.
Really?
Yep.
And that'll do it.
It's going to be perfect.
It'll cook. The chop will cook. And even with the stuffing on, did you say on the raw side or the brown side?
You're gonna brown it, flip it over.
Ah, there you go.
Put your raw side down. Put your stuffing on that seared side.
Right.
And shut the lid.
Right.
And turn your heat way down so you don't overcook the chop.
Right.
Because the stuffing technically just needs to be warmed up and baked a little bit.
Right.
There's no egg or anything.
Right. It's bread and.
And you're putting it on the seared side, so you're not going to pick up a bunch of raw pork sushi.
Very good. You know, we've got March Madness coming up.
I know. I've been watching basketball tonight. It's nice.
Yep. And so maybe in the next couple of weeks, we'll be talking a little bit about some March Madness recipes.
Some round ball recipes?
Yeah, something that you can do when
a lot of meatballs.
A gang comes over. Right, exactly. A lot of meatballs. And, you know, have a little bit of fun. And by then, this polar vortex will be broke and we're get a little bit warmer and you can stand out on your grill with your buddies and make some stuff that is tasty.
Don't forget to check us out on the interweb. It's thegrillinguys.com. There's all sorts of recipes on there. Our sponsors are on the right. There's a search bar on the top right that you can find the recipes on. And there's a podcast icon. You click on it, and we'll send the show to your phone, no charge. So if you can't make it and you just want it shipped off, podcasts are huge, and this one's just an audio podcast, so it doesn't take up a lot of space. Check us out on Facebook / The Grilling Guys. I'm on Twitter. It's Grilling Guy.
That's right. So, hey, thanks for tuning in each and every week. As you do, we appreciate you listening. A couple knuckleheads. Get out there and enjoy this beautiful winter weather, and we'll talk with you next week.
Or a statue in my hometown when I'm gone. Nobody gonna name their babies after me. It might not go